Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Anthony Brichta from County Seat Spirits, a craft distillery operation that has been operating in Allentown since 2014. It was the first licensed distillery in the valley, and they have a new tasting room in Easton that we're definitely going to talk about. So, Anthony, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
So it's tough to believe it's been 6 years now since you started here in the Lehigh Valley. What was it like being a trailblazer of a new category here in the region?
It's definitely interesting. I mean, whenever you're starting a new business, there's always kind of the unexpected variables that you're not really planning for. And particularly with craft distilling, although there's a lot of craft breweries in the Lehigh Valley, craft distilling was new when we were getting started. So dealing with all the paperwork, both at the state and federal level and then the local level, nobody had really done a craft distillery before, so it was all kind of new. So, it was definitely a new experiment, but fun to get started.
And what sort of lessons did you learn along the way? Probably things aren't as easy as they first appeared working with the government.
There's definitely some of the time lags. Thankfully, our paperwork went through relatively smoothly. So that wasn't a huge issue. I would say some of the local permitting took longer than expected, drawing up the plans, working with the city to make sure everything was going to be safe from a fire standpoint, since you're dealing with alcohol, which is flammable, working with the architect to get that plan done. That took a little bit longer than anticipated, but Allentown was pretty great about all that, as was the facility that we're in.
And you're in the Bridgeworks Enterprise Center, same with Hijinks and Colony Meadery, which you've had on the show.
That's correct. And then there's also a kombucha maker in there now, and then there's a winery coming on as well.
Oh, quite a place to go. That's
yeah.
A type of enterprise I like to hear about.
Correct.
So how'd you originally get into distilling and how'd you decide to turn it into a business?
Yeah, so County Seat Spirits is a two-man company. So it was myself and my uncle started it in 2014. We both kind of independently had the idea to start a craft distillery in Lehigh Valley. I had it because I originally went to a friend from college. I went to Lehigh University, and a friend of mine from Lehigh was having a birthday party, and we visited some distilleries in Brooklyn. So we visited one called Kings County. It was a couple guys about my age that were doing it on a small scale. It seemed pretty interesting. I, of course, have a day job, but I was looking to start some type of business and figured I'd probably do it in the Lehigh Valley. So I kind of decided on that. And then about the same time, my uncle, who's a pilot and an air traffic controller at Lehigh Valley International Airport, was coming up on mandatory retirement age. So still looking to do something productive in the world. So he kind of also had the idea. And then we found out through his sister, who's my mother, that we were both kind of thinking about doing the same thing. So we linked up and decided to give it a go.
Excellent. And what kind of core offerings do you have there at County Seat?
Yeah, so like a lot of distilleries, we do a full range of spirits. So we have a couple vodkas. We have a rye-based vodka, and then we also have a gluten-free sugarcane vodka that we called Zero G because it's got 0 grams of carbs, 0 grams of gluten, zero gluten. It's a much more neutral spirit than our normal vodka, which is a little more full-flavored for a vodka. We do a couple different sugarcane styles of rum, which are modeled off of like a Brazilian cachaça. So it's more like a sweeter, lighter rum, but it still has some oomph to it. And then we do a full range of whiskeys. So we have a bourbon, a rye, and then a couple malt whiskeys. And then probably our most popular product is a gin that my uncle designed. It's called Lockkeeper Gin, and it's kind of in the new style of gin where it's not that classic, you know, London dry gin. It's more of a lighter citrusy gin with a lot of different botanicals going on that people who traditionally may not like gin will find it a lot more approachable and tend to like it.
So you've really expanded your offerings. You've been doing a lot of different things in the 6 years since you started.
Correct. So, I mean, aged spirits take time, so you know you have to be a little bit more deliberate in planning out if you're going to do an aged spirit. It's not something you can turn around in a couple of months. You're going to be developing the recipe for several months, picking a recipe, and then sitting on it for a period of time while it ages. White spirits, though, you know, you can go from conception to bottle within you know, a month or two if you really work at it. So we've tried to do that, where we've tried to do a mix of planning things for down the road, where we've distilled some things that we know won't be released for several years and they're just kind of in the pipeline, but also trying to experiment with some things like flavored vodkas and things like that we can kind of turn around on a quicker basis. But yeah, I mean, generally what we found in the marketplace is that if people like your offerings, they're looking to try more of your things. So although we could do one product, we could just make a rye or we could just make a bourbon. We typically find that if our customers like one product, they like what we're doing, they like our story, they like that we're doing it from grain to glass locally, you know, they're going to want to try something else. And so we've kind of naturally expanded our offerings over time.
Well, and with smaller scale production, you kind of have the flexibility to do things like that and to experiment.
That's correct. I mean, we can do 100 bottles of something. And, you know, luckily we haven't had anything that's been really poorly received, but we can certainly try something and not be overly concerned that if, you know, it's good but not quite as great as we would hope it would be, we're not sitting on a million bottles of it. We can kind of try something, and, you know, if a smaller sect of the population really likes it and buys it up, that's great. But, you know, we're not trying to – we don't necessarily need to do something that's palatable to everyone in the world.
Right. So what are some of the keys to maintaining consistency in distilled spirits, making sure that what you make in October is the same as what you made in March? I imagine there are a number of variables that you need to account for.
Yeah, so first would be the raw ingredients. So we try to stay really consistent with our raw ingredients in our recipes. We spend a lot of time in the beginning picking providers, figuring out exactly what we wanted to make products out of, and kind of getting the best suppliers. And then once we settled on suppliers, and we settled on a recipe, we try to keep that recipe extremely consistent. With distillation, you're always going to have little bits of variety in that, you know, you're not always going to have exactly the same thing coming off the still, but you try to get it as consistent as possible. And then another way you can do that is by blending batches together. So if we make a batch of gin, it might be imperceptibly different than the last batch of gin, but if we blend five batches together, it's pretty much going to be what we're doing. Where you see a little bit more variation that's a little bit harder to control is in the aged spirits. And the reason for that is you can make the exact same white spirit using the exact same raw materials and split it into two barrels that are charred the exact same way from the same company you bought the barrels from, could even be made from the same tree. And the barrels are not going to be identical. You might get a different flavor out of one, even if you put them in storage in the exact same spot. You might get slightly different notes off one or the other. When you're doing it on a huge macro scale, you're blending hundreds of bottles together, so those variations will kind of naturally come together. When you're doing what we're doing, which is perhaps bottling a single barrel or a few barrels, they do come sometimes show. So what we try to do is select barrels to blend that will get what we're looking for. And then if we have a particularly awesome barrel that just tastes really good, sometimes we'll bottle that separately.
Well, that's the exclusive, the limited edition, right?
Exactly.
So we were talking a little bit before we started recording here about how the craft distilling business in the Lehigh Valley was actually a little bit more advanced than maybe some of our neighbors down in Philly or Pittsburgh back, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. So the industry in general is pretty new. You had a couple distilleries come about in the early 2000s, and then you had a major law change in about 2011, 2012. And then I think what you saw happening is when the law changed about 2000, I think it was signed into law in 2011 and became effective in 2012, that's when a lot of people like us started putting the plans together. And of course, you don't know who else is coming up with plans. You know, you kind of feel like you're on an island, you're doing this, you don't know if 20 other people or nobody else is planning to do the same thing that you're doing or something similar. And it was pretty interesting to see kind of how it evolved in Pennsylvania, and that the Lehigh Valley, for whatever reason, has a lot of distilleries, a lot of people that make really, really good products. And I think Pittsburgh is starting to catch up, and Philly probably has more distilleries than the Lehigh Valley. But there was a period of time, I'd say in 2016, where the Lehigh Valley had more distilleries than Pittsburgh, which is obviously a much larger city, and as many, if not more, than Philadelphia. So even though the Lehigh Valley in general, and you know, Allentown's not the biggest city in the country, we have a pretty robust craft distillery population going.
Right, and I think we're recording this here in January of 2020. I think we counted 7 or 8, including you. So it is quite a nice population here that we have in the area. Now, you did also open a tasting room in Easton over in the Silk Mill, close to Bozergeist and Separatist and Oh Wow Cow, and some of those people have been on our show before, Tucker as well. So tell me about your moving to Easton for that tasting room.
Yeah, so as you mentioned earlier, our original location where we do all our production is in the Bridgeworks Enterprise Center in Allentown, the state laws allow us to have what we would call satellite tasting rooms. I think the law calls them additional locations. So we get a few of those. So we were looking for the last couple of years to find a location that kind of fit the historic vibe that we go for and kind of that community that we're trying to build with our products. And we were fortunate enough to find the Simon Silk Mill, which is a repurposed historical silk mill in Easton. It's about a half mile to a mile right outside the downtown circle. But you can actually walk from downtown now to the
Carl Sterner Arts Trail, which is awesome.
Yeah, they actually just put in a week or two ago a bridge, and you can walk right from the Simon Silk Mill to the Arch Trail and then right to downtown Easton. So the Simon Silk Mill really fit what we were going for. It's got that old historic vibe. The spaces are beautiful. And as you mentioned, it's got a really good community, not only for alcohol producers, but other businesses. There's a bridal shop right next to us. Is a really high quality men's barber shop called Gentleman's Barber. There's some restaurants coming in.
Gallery, art gallery, if I remember.
Yep, there's an art gallery. There's Tucker Australian Cafe. There's Bozergeist. There's Easton Wine Project. There's Separatist Beer. So there's a whole lot of different options. And what we've really seen over, I would say, the last 6 months is the Simon Silk Mill has really started to come alive. Most of the apartments are full now. There's kind of a community that's hanging out there during the nights and weekends. It's free parking, so we get a lot of people coming from all over the place to visit it, and you can really try a bunch of things, eat some great food, get some ice cream, and really do a lot of different things.
Oh, you can be in downtown Easton, you know, get something there and get on the trail, and in, you know, 10, 15 minutes, be down at your place and, you know, grab a beer at Separatist at the same time and some ice cream at Oh Wow Cow. So some good clustering going on there.
Yeah, and I think there's a kind of a common spirit that, you know, all the businesses are trying to go for the same thing. They're all local businesses. They're all kind of made from scratch businesses, you know, striving for really high quality.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, best of luck for continued success both in Allentown and Easton, wherever the business takes you.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.